You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Back, folks. Third hour of American Journal is on. We're going to continue to talk about politics here for a minute. Then I also have a very disturbing video of a technological advance that signals the total demise of humanity as we know it. Stay tuned for that. But I want to go now to just first few minutes of the latest scalp from James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe and O'Keefe Media Group caught on hidden mic a DNC manager telling the truth about Kamala Harris. The full video is about 15 minutes. You can find it at Infowars.com. But here's just a little taste of what they uncovered.
I like Kamala Harris, but I don't think she'd win this year.
Meet Joyce Desiris, he, him, the compliance manager to the DNC.
What's your official title?
Compliance manager. My specific job, like the end all be all of my job, is reporting to the government how much the DNC raised and where it spent its money.
Saying that she doesn't have any accomplishments to speak of.
She's weirdly unpopular. She doesn't have any accomplishments to speak of because she's vice president.
Joyce Desiris revealed how the DNC gains donations and what tactics they use, including just telling donors what they want them to hear.
When I was doing finance, like fundraising, we just call it finance and politics, you kind of tell a donor what they want to hear.
Which is what?
Whatever they want to hear.
Desiris admits to the OMG citizen journalist American Swiper, you kind of tell a donor just what they want to hear.
You just put on a performance for them, a little show, right?
You just put on a performance for them, a little show, right?
So basically we're just feeding into their fantasy.
Yeah. Which, you ever met a rich person? They want their fantasy to be, you know, fed into.
So we just take their money and we, like, smile and nod our head, but, like, we don't really take their opinions into our strategy.
100%.
So some donors are holding back on writing their checks because they think that the campaign's not doing well?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they think that?
I don't know. A lot of people think we should attack Trump more.
We should attack Trump more?
Yeah.
Do you feel like our strategy has always been just, like, take their money and tell them what they want to hear?
Yeah, that's what fits.
There's always been an artifice that pervades our politics in this country, with people never willing to say out loud what the truth is. And the political marketing industry, masquerading as journalists, participate in that lie. But every once in a while, we manage to catch them being honest. And when we do, they tell you the truth, what they really think, what they really believe, what they won't say in public for reasons that are themselves important. And they tell you things like this.
And what's your official title?
Compliance manager.
You're the only person?
Yeah. I don't manage anyone.
I mean, you manage compliance.
That's
huge.
Right?
I mean, like, there's a lot of legality involved,
I
imagine.
I can't say, like, I manage the compliance department, because
yeah.
I don't. There's no department to manage. I manage me.
And remind me what compliance means again?
It's pretty much an accounting function. It's kind of like where accounting and legal meet. So
you report?
Yeah, my specific job, like the end all be all of my job, is reporting to the government how much the DNC raised and where it spent its money. And Joe Biden's campaign right now, because they don't have anyone doing that for them.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, so you're doing it for both the DNC and the Biden campaign?
Yeah.
Meet Joyce Desiris, he, him, the compliance manager to the DNC in the former Biden campaign, now the Kamala Harris campaign. Desiris, as stated on his LinkedIn, is a, quote, political operations expert with experience in people and culture, financial operations, and compliance. Desiris divulged further into what his role description is for the DNC, the former Biden campaign, and now the Kamala Harris campaign.
Folks, this was just a little word of advice for Democrats out there. If you look like an overweight Renaissance fair actor, and you find that an attractive young woman is inexplicably interested in you and your job, you're being filmed by James O'Keefe at that moment. Just stop. You should just stop. Yes, folks, James O'Keefe, yet another example of Democrats behind the scenes being just relentless, proud liars. Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to be joined by Jack Hadfield in about 20 minutes. He was actually there at the Southport protest. I got a tooth knocked out of him during some of the violence. Barely made it out. We're very excited to talk to him about what exactly is going down in the UK. We have some other stuff to cover here. So we'll stick with politics for just a minute and then move on to some of the more dystopian new realities of the modern world. From InfoWars.com, Secret Service head Cheadle admits to using encrypted messaging apps on personal phones to chat with, quote, colleagues in governments and overseas. It has been a really rough couple of weeks for shamed U.S. Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle, who accidentally, apparently, admitted under oath to Congress that she communicates with her government colleagues on her personal device using encrypted messaging apps like Signal and Telegram. In the testimony, Cheadle was asked about the use of these encrypted messaging apps, to which she fumbled around some unrealistic sounding story about how these apps are sometimes necessary when communicating overseas. When asked about why she does not use encrypted messaging apps on her government device rather than her personal device, Cheadle had this to say. Recently, we've been able to install some of those apps on government devices, which, just like Hillary Clinton's email server or anything else like that, it's not the communications that are of concern. It's what the communications are talking about, what they expose. Why is she talking on encrypted messaging apps? Why are people who are public servants and supposed to be operating in national security capacity tailoring their communications to be outside the purview of oversight? That Cheadle made such an admission on the record is shocking, especially since it appears, based on the above footage, that Cheadle probably did not mean to let the truth slip with such blatancy. This is a really shocking admission, agreed Janine Clark. She probably wishes she hadn't answered the question like that. Too bad, no takebacks. Will she be charged with a crime? I seriously doubt it. Again, that video from Judge Joe Brown is on InfoWars.com. I know a hoe when I see one. And people act like this claim is somehow offensive or whatever. But it's kind of like the claims about her being a DEI hire. I don't know if y'all saw the headline today, where we've gone fully around the conspiracy circle, and we've now landed on, yes, she is a DEI hire, and that's a good thing. Remember, it was an outrage and offensive to call her a DEI hire yesterday, but today, it's acknowledged and a good thing. There was another hearing yesterday with the acting Secret Service director. Story at InfoWars, Secret Service director left shaken after grilling over why agency denied Trump security requests. Acting Security Service Director Ronald Roe Jr. was left visibly shaken after a heated exchange with Senator Ted Cruz over the agency's reported denial of additional security resources to the Trump campaign leading up to the assassination attempt of the former president. Cruz repeatedly asked Roe, who in the agency reportedly denied requests by Trump security detail, and was unsatisfied when Roe insisted, contrary to numerous media reports, that all requests for more security were fulfilled. This, again, is one of these things where it's like the claim is made that he asked for more security and it was denied. They come out and say, that's not true. Absolutely not. That never happened. Then it comes out that absolutely that happened. That is the case. They admit it. And you would think that this would be like, okay, great. We said something. You called it a lie. We proved it was true. Now that's established fact. Only to go back into another conversation and it's like that never happened. It's like they're being introduced to this topic for the first time. They're like, no, that never happened. It's like, no, we've been through this. It did happen. That's already been established. Now we need to figure out why it happened and who made it happen and what the punishments are for it having happened. But instead, there's like, nope, never happened. But it did. But it definitely did. But it definitely did happen. They requested more resources, and instead, resources were given to Jill Biden. Despite the fact that apparently they knew Trump's under assassination threat by a hostile foreign nation. Yeah, so it's just all bullcrap. I don't know if y'all pulled in the video yet, but Senator Kennedy did what he does and very calmly and brutally questioned Ronald Roe Jr. Let's go now to Senator Kennedy asking, and again, just a very funny way, about the claim the FBI made during the last questioning session, in which they claimed they didn't know whether he was struck by a bullet. What? Total nonsense. Here's Senator Kennedy asking about this.
Deputy Director of the FBI, is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
Is there any doubt in your mind or in the collective mind of the FBI that President Trump was shot in the ear by a bullet fired by the assassin crooks?
Senator, there is absolutely no doubt in the FBI's mind former President Trump was hit with with a bullet and wounded in the ear. No doubt there never has been.
Okay.
I've been part of this investigation since the very beginning, and that has never been raised.
You're sure?
Yes.
It wasn't a space laser.
No.
It wasn't a murder hornet.
Absolutely not.
It wasn't Sasquatch.
No, Senator.
It was a bullet.
It was a bullet, Senator.
100%. Fired by crooks.
Yes, sir.
That hit President Trump in the ear and almost killed him.
100%, Senator.
Okay. Glad we cleared that up.
So why did Chris Wray claim that they didn't know? Why did Chris Wray pump that media narrative out? And of course, the answer is because he knows that making a statement like that gives all of the fodder that the left needs to pretend that Trump was never shot. Merely making the statement means that in their conversations with their friends or even in their own minds, they can now feel comfortable dismissing the assassination attempt on Trump because the FBI says they didn't even know if it was a bullet. That was a total lie. And that Secret Service person very emphatically says there was never a doubt that he was hit by a bullet. So why did Chris Wray say it? Why did he commit perjury on that fact? That is perjury. You can't just pretend that you don't know. That's a lie. If there was never a question about whether he was hit with a bullet or hit by shrapnel, why did Chris Wray say that it was a question? That is perjury. That is just a blatant lie. So where's the punishment? And that's not the only his accusation of perjury that the FBI faces, because they're still doing it. From InfoWars again, FBI leadership accused of perjury after telling Congress Trump shooter, quote, pushed anti-immigration and anti-Semitic views on social media. The level of gaslighting going on right now, as you think about the number of claims that the media is making and that officials are making, it's not just the media. It's officials in positions to know better, to know the answer. They're actively censoring the photo of Donald Trump with his fist in the air, the blood on his face, and the flag in the background. They're telling you, they were telling you 3 weeks ago, it seems, that Joe Biden was 100% capable and all claims and videos of him being incompetent were AI-generated deepfake disinformation. They are claiming that Kamala Harris was never border czar. They're claiming that the immigration crisis over the last 4 years is Donald Trump's fault. They're claiming that Biden is alive and well and again, perfectly capable of serving out his term, despite the fact that he's so frail and dementia-ridden and incompetent that he can't be held accountable for the crimes that they acknowledge he committed with the classified documents case. They're telling you Donald Trump never got hit by a bullet and that the Trump shooter, the assassin who attempted to kill Donald Trump, is in fact a Republican right-wing anti-immigrant Trump supporter. Just one of these things is a shocking violation of the trust of the American people. They just keep going and going and going. This is a lie. It's just a blatant political lie. It is a lie with a very obvious purpose. And that is to, again, give fodder to and provide for the talking point of Donald Trump shooter was a right-wing MAGA extremist. Total nonsense, total and total crazy insanity, but that's what they're pushing. Despite the fact that his social media account was made public by Gab and showed that since at least 2019... probably for a few years before, he had been making pro-Biden, pro-Democrat, pro-open border posts on his account. FBI leadership has been accused of perjury after testifying in a Senate hearing Tuesday that the Trump shooter espoused anti-immigration and anti-Semitic views on social media. Deputy Director Paul Abate told the Senate Homeland Security Committee that would-be assassin Thomas Matthew Crooks shared many, quote, extreme posts on social media that reflected, quote, anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes. This was totally and incontrovertibly disproven by Andrew Torba, CEO of Gab, who made public the FBI request to retain information about the account of the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, in which he made pro-Biden, pro-open border posts, despite Gab being the most far-right social media platform out there. He says there are over 700 comments posted from this account. Some of these comments, if ultimately attributable to the shooter, appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes to espouse political violence and are described as extreme in nature. Total lies. Total lies. As this InfoWars article notes. So when for weeks the FBI has been refusing to answer basic questions surrounding the events of the attempted assassination of Trump to lawmakers and the press, the Bureau felt it necessary to share unverified information about the shooter's alleged anti-Semitic and anti-immigration views, despite his account not yet being confirmed as authentic. Contrary to Abate's remarks, Gab founder Andrew Torba revealed the FBI had issued an emergency disclosure request last week for a Gab account to believe to have belonged to would-be assassin Thomas Matthew Crooks, known as, quote, Epic Microwave, that was his account name, that unequivocally showed that he was pro-Biden and in particular pro-Biden's immigration policy. So why is the FBI allowed to lie to the American people? I don't need to know why they're lying to the American people. They're lying to the American people because they are the Democrat Gestapo, because they are political actors using their position of authority as supposedly unbiased and patriotic federal law enforcement to warp, manipulate the overall narrative and discussion about this topic in order to seed dis and misinformation to cripple Trump politically. Why are they allowed to do that is the question. How is Congress not charging these people with perjury? Is it because they're phrasing it so carefully? Is it like the Hunter Biden laptop? Well, it does have all the hallmarks. Well, these posts could be characterized as anti-Semitic and anti-immigrant. They aren't, but you could characterize them that way. Is that the level of rhetorical intricacy that we're expected to put up with? Again, Andrew Torba, the FBI is now claiming that the Trump shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, had a unspecified social media account in 2019-2020 when he was 14 or 15 years old that posted anti-immigrant and anti-Semitic content. That is not consistent with Gab's understanding of the situation. Understanding of the shooter's motives. Based on an emergency closure request we received from the FBI last week for the Gab account Epic Microwave, which, based on the content of that EDR, the FBI appeared to think belonged to Thomas Crooks. Many, particularly regime media reporters, have doubted Gab's claim that this request existed. Normally, we don't confirm the existence or content of law enforcement communications. In this instance, however, we had to make an exception due to the overwhelming public interest in disclosure and transparency. As a courtesy to law enforcement, we're not going to post the entire request. This is just the first page. The story is this. The account for which the data was requested was unequivocally pro-Biden and in particular pro-Biden's immigration policy. To the best of Gab's knowledge, as of 2021, Crooks was a pro-lockdown, pro-immigration, left-wing Joe Biden supporter. And I guess the truth of that is proven in the fact that he tried to kill Donald Trump. I mean, this is so retarded. It's all just utterly ridiculous. But of course, the staccatic terror from the left continues. Green Day frontman sparks outrage after holding a Trump head on stage in the wake of the assassination attempt. Green Day singer Billy Joe Armstrong came under fire this week after he held held a head on stage resembling presidential candidate Donald Trump just weeks after the former president narrowly survived an assassination attempt. It was a mask, but he's essentially holding up what appeared to be a severed head of Donald Trump. Seymour Hersh has come out with an interesting article about the coup against President Biden, describing the way that he was basically forced into dropping out of the race by the real powers behind the Democratic Party. Trump, meanwhile, is going back to Butler, Pennsylvania, back to the scene of the assassination attempt to finish out the rally that was so rudely interrupted. Which I think is a good idea. I do. I don't think it's going to be particularly vulnerable. I think they'll, I hope to God they'll have that aspect locked down. But it's good because the media is very clearly, and the powers that be and the authorities are very clearly attempting to shut down discussion about the assassination attempt. So what better way to remind everybody that Donald Trump miraculously survived by millimeters an attempt to blow his head off on live TV than by going back to the place where it happened? We cannot let them move on from this. I want to go now to a video, because we'll be joined by Jack Hadfield in just a second. Let's go to clip number 6 here. I haven't watched this yet. So we're going to react in real time. This, apparently, I've been told, I've been assured, this is a real commercial for an actual product, not a skit and not a scene from Black Mirror. Here is an ad for a new product called Friend.
Gosh, I'm out of breath. We made it. Woo! I don't know how to woo very good. That's fair. All right, let's go.
So she talks into a device around her neck.
Okay. Oh, come on, come on.
And it sends her a text.
Are you serious? Come on, man. I hate this game.
Take notes, baby. Oh, man, you guys suck. Bro, you look like the back
Let's
of the
go. Elephant. Let's go.
Getting thrashed. It's embarrassing.
How did you do
that? Show's
I know, the effects are crazy. It's dank. I could eat one of these every day. Ooh. Sorry, I got you messy.
It's really nice up here. How'd you find this place?
I don't know. I just kind of like to come up here to be by myself. I've never brought anybody else. I mean, besides her.
She goes everywhere with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess I must be doing something right, though.
I guess so. We'll see.
What? Okay. Wear this AI friend around your neck. The latest attempt at an AI-powered wearable is an always-listening pendant. It doesn't help you be more productive. It just keeps you company. Well, good Lord. It's like a less fun Tamagotchi. Like literally less useful than Tom. So they want you to wear a little egg pendant around your neck that's listening to you constantly and chimes in with asinine comments about what you're doing as an AI. What is the appeal of this? Is this how lonely people are? Is this how uncomfortable people are with being by themselves and with their own thoughts? Is that what this is? You actually need the response from a disembodied robotic brain to tell you, yes, you are outside. You can't just eat a falafel. You got to have a Tamagotchi tell you that you're eating a falafel. Just wear this spy device around your neck at all times. So it can chime in, again, with just asinine statements. What is going on here? What is this? I'm going to wear a necklace that insults my video game playing. Why? Yeah, I think the question is why?
So number one, you've got central banks now starting to buy it by the tons. Right? It's a lot. You've now got Chinese citizens being encouraged to not just buy gold, but buy silver. Because China and the Russia want to destroy the Western banks. And the Western banks, JP Morgan Chase and HSBC, have the largest number of naked short positions on the planet. On the planet. I think between the two of them, they have over 900 million ounces of silver in short position. Well, only 1.2 billion ounces of silver is mined every year globally. So they've got almost the entire annual production in a short position. That means when the price goes up, these banks lose money hand over fist in multiples. China knows this, which is why they're encouraging all of their citizens now to buy not just gold, but buy silver. because that creates more demand. Every time silver goes up in price, the Western banks lose money in multiples because they're on the wrong side of the transaction. They want to do it to destroy the West, and they want to do it to make a financial gain. Both of those, in their minds, are legitimate enough reasons to do something, right? But let's look at silver, because that's what we're allocated into right now, because the ratio between gold and silver points towards silver. It's outperforming. Where were we just 4 years ago? 1191. But now since then, we've gone from 1191 to almost 30 in the last 4 years. See, the trend is accelerating because the geopolitical dynamics are causing its growth. It's not just a flight for safety. It's not just a way to preserve and protect your freedoms and get out of these unified ledgers and these social credit scoring systems and this digital money. You're getting something tangible that actually doesn't just grow. It's growing tremendously. It's up like 40% in 4 months. That's amazing. But you also have something that can maintain your freedoms, Alex. That's the tangible intangible, which is as our freedoms
erode. I can't believe we have millions of viewers right now and maybe 500 people call you. It's a sponsor. I only promote what I think is great. So I sell water filtration systems that have the highest rating for like half the price on average. And I sell high quality supplements. I just sell stuff that I think is great. Everybody should call you and get into silver and gold right now. There's nothing performing as good as it. I mean, it's like it's on record. It's the best investment, but the stockbrokers won't tell you that. The globalist argument is, oh, the world's in turmoil and everything's collapsing. We got to be strong. And America's got to threaten Russia and China to keep us as the dollar. But they're the ones that undermine the currency. They're the ones that brought us into this situation. And so that's why this is so incredibly dangerous. This is just trying to kill Trump just, 10, 11 days ago. They are going for broke. I wish we weren't in this position, but we are. But by admitting where we are, we have a real chance of waking up, like Congress saying, we know you tried to kill Trump. Buying silver is the smartest bet there is. You'd have bought silver a year ago, up 20, 30%. That's what you want. And silver is the big mover in this economy. So go now to kepm.com/gold or 720-605-3000. We'll explain it all to you. Most of the gold and silver companies are charging you huge 30, 40, 50% premiums. And most of the conservative talk show hosts are doing it too. And I talk to them in person. I say, you need Kirk Elliott.
What does Goldman Sachs think gold is going to do before the end of the year? $2,700 an ounce.
And I'm sitting here saying, it funds us, it keeps us on air, and it's the best investment, hands down, in an imperfect world. I mean,
this is, to me, is one of the most important things to protect your financial future ever.
Go now to kepm.com/gold.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, folks, welcome back to The American Journal. Infowars.com, band.video, Infowarsstore.com is how you support us. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joining me today is Jack Hadfield. We spent about an hour this morning talking about not just the attack in Southport, UK, where 11 people were stabbed, three little girls dying from their injuries by what is suspected to be the child of Rwandan immigrants, but also the protest that broke out in response, and the response to that from the mainstream UK media demonizing the, as they put it, quote, far right agitators that were taking advantage of this horrible thing. But the scenes of the protest were fiery and intense. And there on the scene was Jack Hadfield. He actually was attacked during this protest, had one of his teeth knocked out. And this is being reported by The Publica. While covering the demonstrations in Southport last night, our reporter Jack at Jack Hatters was brutally assaulted, but he was able to get out and get the dental repair work that he needed, thankfully. But clearly a very dangerous situation. You can follow Jack Hadfield on X at Jack Hatters, H-A-D-D-E-R-S, and on YouTube at Jack Hadfield. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jack.
Yeah, no, it's great to be on.
I'm surprised you're in such a chipper mood, because it sounds harrowing what you went through. Just tell us what happened to you last night.
Yeah, so I'll give you the quick rundown of the actual assault that took place on me. It was much later on in the evening at around 10:40 or so. And I believe there was somebody who saw me earlier when I was talking to a number of people during the protest. I think at one point I mentioned that I was a journalist, but I was obviously not the mainstream media. You know, somebody, of course, is more sympathetic to the problems of mass migration, you know, crime, radical Islam, you know, all that jazz. But this person then identified me later on as I was moving between various police lines, going back and forth, trying to get footage. And they basically went, you know, like, this guy's a journalist, you know, someone needs to slap him up. And then started running from behind me. And yeah, I was attacked, you know, I was being, you know, hit over the head, the face, the body, everywhere, really. And then I was able to run down further towards the crossroads up to St. Luke's Road itself, which is where the protest slash riot really took off. And as I was further there, that's where around 200 people or so at the scene who are more on the protester side. At that point, I was surrounded by around 10 or 15 or so individuals. You know, they demanded to see my phone, you know, and delete any footage that I may have already filmed. You know, I pleaded with them and said, again, you know, I'm not part of the mainstream media. You know, I'm an independent journalist, you know, but that wasn't enough for them. And I was then my phone was, you know, they tried to take it from me. I was pushed to the ground. You know, they even took my phone charger, which was my phone was plugged into it, which plugged into my power bank, my backpack, which is a very sensible thing to do in general. Just, you know, if you're out coming in protest, means you can never run out of charge. But yeah, so then when I stood up and my glasses were knocked off as well, as I stood up, I suddenly felt something weird in my mouth and I was like, oh, what's this? Spit out. And there's, you know, a chunk of my tooth. At that point, I had managed to wrestle my phone back for them. And I just absolutely legged it towards the closest line of police, which is about 100 meters down the road. And yeah, and then I just started going, oh, you know, what just happened to me there? I think I actually dropped my tooth somewhere around that point near the police line. I was just so discombobulated, you know, but because I was on my way, I was like, you know what? Forget the tooth. We'll get it fixed some other way somehow. I'm pretty sure they don't just glue it on anyway. So then I was at that line of the police, and those were the ones who were pretty close to the action themselves. You know, they weren't very hospitable. You know, I think they were more focused on clearing out protesters, and they just told me to leave. They wouldn't give me an escort or anything, and they told me, directed me almost, you know, back one street, which would have led me probably further towards the protesters again, or close enough to where I'd just been assaulted. So I stood there for a bit, tried to find another way out, and then I pushed forward back further away on St. Luke's Road, at which point I came along more police who, obviously being further apart, were more willing to assist. And at that point, I just waited there. I couldn't get an ambulance. I couldn't get a taxi. So a friend of mine drove about an hour and a half to pick me up. So I was there for approximately 2 hours, just waiting near the police line to be able to get back home, and then straight to A&E.
Wow. And, you know, obviously, we're showing videos here. It looked like a violent, you know, fiery riot. Clearly, you were a victim of that. Did you see, was other violence taking place, or were you the only victim of this type of attack?
I did see somebody earlier on the day who appeared to be more obviously a journalist. I think they had a camera piece with them, was chased away. Now, I didn't see them actually getting assaulted. In terms of actual violence, I believe the biggest victims were, in terms of numbers that have been officially released, have been the police. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that obviously some protesters and rioters would have been injured as well, in terms of, again, people being specifically assaulted like me by the protesters, who are not the police. I may be the only one. I can't be sure.
Wow. And, you know, obviously, thank you for you know, taking this risk on and getting this these images. What did you see any other media? I mean, was the mainstream media out there capturing this, or how has this been covered in the UK media sphere?
Yeah, well, there were certainly other freelance people around there at the time. I didn't really see that many of them. I think they must have gone on pretty early. The last media person I saw was somebody from the Liverpool Echo, who was filming and interviewing some of the locals who had been aggravated at the protest there, who were putting out fires outside their houses and, you know, and of course, quite angrily arguing with people about why they were setting fire to things. So I think that person, I saw them at around 10 o'clock. But in terms of actually blocking other media myself, other than that Liverpool Echo person, another guy with quite a large camera who was filming would have left at least a couple hours before I did. And then then the other journalist who was chased away at some point. I couldn't identify any of the mainstream media myself.
Yeah, and this morning I expected this to be a major story, and yet I couldn't really find it on very many headlines. If anything, it was just about the danger of the far right and how they were, you know, very concerned about this far right violence. Clearly, this is a turning point, or it's something different. The anger boiling over like this. Am I wrong that this is the first example of real intense backlash to an attack like this? I'm thinking back to the Manchester Arena bombing and everybody's just singing an Oasis song in response. I mean, there hasn't been this type of like uprising of anger and fury like there has been with this attack. Am I wrong in that, or is there something different here?
No, I think you're quite right, to be honest. Again, obviously Manchester, which is where I'm based now, that was in 2017, of course, at the Ariana Grande concert. The entire line where there was a "Don't look back in anger." You know, it was all about just holding the vigil, holding candlelight vigil, and, you know, mourning the victims, which of course is all things that people should do. You know, communities have a right to grieve. They have a right to, you know, they have a right to outpour that grief, you know, in the comfort of other people. But of course, you know, the only thing with vigils is you have to have policy to change it. Otherwise, vigils are pointless. Right. And of course, that's what we haven't seen over the last 7 years. Mass migration is still continuing. You know, crime is still at a rampant rise. You know, the government has done nothing. Of course, the Labour government will continue to do nothing. So perhaps that's one flavour, maybe why, you know, we've seen a completely different reaction to with this, you know, quite fiery protest. And I guess it's quite accurately to say riot today. Of course, there was a footage you just showed there of the vigil that was held at 6 p.m. Outside the town hall. You know, there was thousands of people who turned out for that. A smaller number who turned out for the riot / protest later on, but still significant amounts of people. So, you know what? I think people have realized that, you know, the government isn't doing anything. That's why the anger is boiling over.
Right.
You know, because if they don't see a solution, well, then what are people supposed to do?
Right, and that's what we talked about earlier, is the fact that it seems like the British people have almost exhausted all of their political solutions to this, and so they're desperate and lashing out for something to solve the attack that they're under. More with Jack Hadfield on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
There are a lot of amazing green drinks out there, and the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts, our immune systems, our vitality. It's so important, but not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market. And we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex. And by just going to that link, no promo code has to be put in, nothing. You get 25% off right off the top by going there. Now, it would take me 20 minutes to tell you everything about this amazing product, but you need to go read about it for yourself. And this is what I call a total 360 win. It's the highest quality, it's a great price, and it supports the InfoWar. OptimalHuman.com/Alex, 25% off right off the top, and it funds the InfoWar and empowers your body, your stamina, your energy, your health. For yourself and your family, I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to OptimalHuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto with other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breast. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD.
And if you can just stitch into that somehow, Alex, the ongoing accusation that not only you might be controlled opposition or I'm controlled opposition, that even a figure like Elon Musk, due to his various billion-dollar contracts through SpaceX or Tesla or whatever it is, can't truly be the renegade that many of us believe him to be.
He's devastating them every day with hundreds of millions of views, with transgenderism and open borders and world government and carbon taxes and depopulation and replacement migration. And they're, I mean, you can't argue with energy to energy. It's a mathematical equation. He's literally devastating them. And I'm supposed to sit back and go, I'm a Pharisee to Christ. You know what? You're not perfect. You're going to hell. I'm literally supposed to sit back and watch devastation of the enemy. Like they are shitting their pants and go, I could have done it better. Great. Get on the field. Show us what you'll do. Stop bitching. Show me what you can do instead of claiming everything is controlled. You say I'm with the devil? No. Those of you saying there's no hope, those of you saying Christ isn't real, those of you saying God didn't call us to victory, those of you saying that we've given a spirit of overcoming and victory, not of weakness, when the enemy comes like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. You are the Satanist. I love Jesus Christ. I want human victory throughout the stars. And any of you saying that I serve Satan or servants of Satan, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ.
American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. My guest is Jack Hatfield. He's the director of Destination Dover, and he currently writes for The Publica. Jack's articles have appeared in Breitbart, The Political Insider, and Political Light, as well as others. You can follow him on X at Jack Hatters. That's H-A-D-D-E-R-S. And his YouTube is Jack Hatfield. He was there at the protest yesterday where I guess you were mistaken for a mainstream media reporter. You know, the mainstream media has given a bad name to all journalists. You're there on the ground trying to capture what's actually going on and receive the ire of some of the protests. You were attacked, had your tooth knocked out. You told me during the break you haven't slept yet. You're up on your 26th, 27th hour. I would have never known. You seem quite chipper this morning. What is it about this attack that has caused things to boil over? Why is this response finally coming after so many years of crimes and abuse and cover-up of migrant crimes by the establishment? Did you see anything like on the street last night that made you, they gave you any inclination as to what was so different about this attack rather than the previous ones?
Well, I mean, I suppose there's two points to be made here. Firstly, of course, is that this was, you know, a stabbing where all the victims right now are little girls, you know, all the victims who have, you know, confirmed to have now passed away, you know, 6, 8, and 9. And of course, there's more currently, I believe, who are still in intensive care, adults as well. But, you know, when it's children, when it's really young, innocent children as young as 6, you know, I mean, how does that not affect people to their very core? You know, I've got friends now who are certain to become parents. They're like, yeah, this really affects me. And I think obviously for those who are parents, it would just, well, it absolutely hits them, you know, right deep in their soul. Right. I think perhaps the other point here is that, you know, it doesn't appear to be a radical Islamic attack. You know, we know that the suspect, you know, of course, who was age 17, was born to two Rwandan parents in Cardiff. Of course, Rwanda, which is a 97% Christian country, around 2% Muslim, also I think 1% atheist or the rest. But the point is that there was no way of sort of putting it to you know, to an ideology that we've been battling with, you know, for the past 10, 20 years, be linked to wars of imperialism and so on. And it just seems so more random. It doesn't seem like there was a point behind it. You know, terrorism, you know, has a point. Terrorism is there to designed to make the people terrified. Whereas this, you know, we don't know the motive at all. You know, who knows if there was a motive other than just pure unbridled hatred of life. So again, that adds to it. And again, third, I think just the timing of it. You know, politics is moving on, evolving. You know, we're in a different place to where we were in 2017, 2016. You know, 2005, even with the 7/7 bombings, of course. So yeah, I think people are just it's anger. You know, that's yeah. boiling over. Anger that, you know, this is still continuing, you know, for decades on. Anger that children are still being cut down randomly while going to, you know, Taylor Swift themed dance class, and people are thinking, well, why hasn't anything been done about it? Right. You know, and like clearly the government has to do something about it, because otherwise people take things into their own hands because they don't see another way, which is horrible. You know, imagine being in that situation where you think, well, I have to riot, I have to smash things up because that's the only way I can ever make a change. To have that mentality is terrible. You know, I absolutely don't. I believe that, you know, through showing people the truth of reality, you know, through politics, and, you know, I think that's how things can be turned around. But, you know, to have the opposite mindset of just, you know, taking the black pill, I suppose, then people turn to violence, and it's disgusting, it's abhorrent. But, you know, it's the fault of the government and society for not fixing the problems that's driving them to violence in the first place. You know, we wouldn't have a riot if the attack had never happened.
Right.
Like, that's pretty obvious.
And it seems like, you know, obviously, whether this guy was inspired by, you know, Islamic terror, you know, whether this was an example of Islamic terror, it clearly is a consequence of the immigration policies, which the people in the UK have said time and time again through plebiscite, through Brexit. I mean, they don't want more migrants, and yet more and more keep coming. And they, it seems like at this point, have exhausted all of their legitimate political avenues to try to fix this. They're constantly shut down. Same thing's happening in Germany. Same thing's happening in France. You know, clearly the powers that be are not responding to the will of the people. And it seems like it's finally reached a breaking point. Now, the way the mainstream media is covering this is they're sort of framing this as these bad people, these far right extremists that are just taking advantage of this community to do this. But as you point out, this is a political issue. This isn't politicizing an attack. The attack itself is the outcome of political policy. This is political. Did you see, and I know you've done a post on this, did you see people that were there for untoward reasons, for you know, some reason other than to actually just protest the behavior of the government? Did you see any agitators that were there just trying to start violence for any reason other than to get political attention? Did you see any outsiders come in and try to cause trouble?
You know, I think it's fair to say that I probably did. You know, there were certainly people who'd not come from Southport themselves, not the local community. You know, and in things like this, certainly on both sides of the political aisle, where there's a protest, where there's a tendency to get angsty, some people just want to scrap. Some people have no political ideology, and they'll just go whichever, you know, has the most fun to blow things up. I'm sure there was some of that, but I also heard, you know, I have footage of, you know, of women and parents, you know, screaming at police officers saying, why didn't you protect our kids? Right. You know, there was obviously, you know, things going around there. So clearly there were some people there at the protests who were, you know, who may or may not have been involved in violence, but who were motivated by the attack. There are some people there at the protest involved in violence who just wanted to do violent things, you know. But of course, you know, were they local? Well, were they local? Were they from further away? Well, they probably weren't from London. I didn't hear any southern accents, but I heard, you know, a variety of sort of northwestern region accents. So people could have come from Liverpool and Wigan. Now, again, these people, they could have come for both, you know, protesting to make a point because they believed in it, or they could have come just to have a violent scrap because they wanted to do that. So, you know, and of course there were locals there, both locals clearly, well, some of them, well, the thing is, I can't tell the difference between the accents. I didn't know who's local or not. I met some people who identified as locals that, you know, some of them condemned the protests. You know, I saw some people who were cleaning up fires outside. They condemned the protests. But also, you know, why should I just immediately believe that no locals were involved in the violence as well? That's just assuming that everybody in the town didn't want violence, when that seems almost an exact opposite opinion as well, to have to say that every single person who came from outside wanted violence. It's clearly a mix of people both from the local, both from the regional area, who wanted violence, who didn't, or and who were violent for political actions, and those who are violent just for violence's sake.
Right. Well, no matter what happened, we wouldn't have the footage that we have, and we wouldn't know what we know without folks like yourselves braving the danger and suffering the consequences from it. So glad you're better now. Hope you can get some sleep now. But thank you for everything that you do. Again, Jack Hadfield can be followed on X at Jack Hatters, on YouTube at Jack Hadfield. Stay safe and keep up the great work, Jack. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, my pleasure. Intense stuff, folks, and I have the feeling that it's only going to be the beginning. Now, I had to say goodbye to Jack with about 2 minutes left in the show today because I have something to show you, folks. And this is just one of the few knives that are still in stock as we are almost sold out, but I understand there's about 100 left of these knives. This absolutely beautiful knife with the Alex Jones signature image, the Betsy Ross flag on one side, and on the reverse, Donald Trump with his fist in the air, the classic, the now iconic fight, fight, fight imagery of Donald Trump. This really is, it's a heavy knife. I wish you guys could feel how heavy this is, with a very unique grip that fits the hand very well. It's from DMO, Dead Moose Ops, and you can actually get this for $25 off with promo code Alex. Again, we've almost sold out of this, but there are about 100 left. So if you are one of the first 100 to go now, to DMOKnives.com. That's DMOKnives.com. That stands for Dead Moose Ops. And you order this knife. It's the limited edition Never Surrender Breacher knife, exclusively handcrafted for Alex Jones, made in the USA with American steel by American hands. And it really is a beautiful knife. And again, the weight of this thing is incredible. I don't want to cut myself, but it seems sharp. It seems awfully sharp. DMOKnives.com. This is a sponsor that will help us stay on the air. Of course, InfoWarsStore.com is the classic site to go to get the supplements, but this is a new sponsor, Dead Moose Ops, DMOKnives.com. And it really is a beautiful knife. Never fail the operator. It's got, like I said, just a really like solid grip. This is not something that you don't have to worry about slipping out of your hands no matter what you are engaged in. Great for fishing, for hunting, for work around the house, or for protecting yourself against the communist-driven waves of criminals that are currently menacing the American people. And I love that etching, that Donald Trump fight, fight, fight imagery. DMOKnives.com, promo code Alex. DMOKnives.com, promo code A-L-E-X.
A lot of people have been asking me how they support InfoWars in this critical fight. And it's simple. Support our sponsors. And we brought you something really special that's a limited edition. It is a campaign coin. You've seen campaign coins from different wars, Vietnam, World War II, you name it. Some wars were just, some wars were bad. But still, we've supported the troops and their memento of the campaign they've been through. Well, we're working with one of the top companies in America that is supporting so many great conservative talk show hosts like the Hodge Twins and so many others who come up with so many of these beautiful coins. And this one is the Hold the Line coin. It is a limited edition. And this campaign coin is only $30. You get an additional 10% off with promo code Alex at holdtheline.com. Holdtheline.com. It's got the Liberty Bell. It says fight for freedom with other inscriptions on the reverse side. It's got key quotes from the Bill of Rights, from true Americana history. This is a piece of history that funds the InfoWar. So this is a limited edition for InfoWars. If you want to support the broadcast, get the Hold the Line coin right now at holdtheline.com. This is how you show the globalists that you're a patriot and you stood up for America and you help hold the line, the most critical point in the info war. Go to holdtheline.com and get 10% off with the promo code Alex. It's an amazing limited edition coin. I'm firing the bat signal like Colonel Travis the Alamo. Victory or death, we need your support. It's a piece of history. You get a big discount with promo code Alex. Now go to holdtheline.com right now and get the coin, holdtheline.com. You want to keep us on air? Get a piece of history? Take action now. Holdtheline.com.